Hello.
Hello.
Happy Tuesday.
It is. And happy New Year's Eve.
Oh my God. You're right.
I know.
That's crazy. It's the last day of the year.
Thank God.
Nobody's listening to this when it comes out. You guys got stuff to do.
Yeah, right? Like what?
Oh, I don't know. Don't people usually either work or have plans on this day?
Couldn't be me. I'm not working or planning. The only thing I'm planning to do is put my dog in a thunder jacket because she's going to freak out.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I do have plans for New Year's Eve.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to a friend's.
Oh, wow. Thanks for the invite.
Well, so you don't know them. Oh. They don't know you.
Sad.
And so I didn't think you would want to fly out to... You'd probably get along really well with them, actually.
Oh. Are they mean-spirited? Sarcastic like I am?
Yeah. Well, not mean-spirited. I don't think you're mean-spirited.
Oh, I try.
I think you, like myself and anyone that I'm friends with, like to give their friends a light bullying every once in a while.
Yeah.
To show your love.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because literally yesterday I was like, I've said out loud, Dylan was sitting next to me, Cassie's bullying me. And he's like, what else is new? I don't even remember what we were talking about. Oh, it's because I sent you that thing.
You sent me what thing?
The gift card.
Oh, yeah. I did bully you.
You were mad.
Yeah, because what the hell?
Get over it.
Okay. I already bought my books. Katie sent me a gift card to thriftbooks.com. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Secondhand bookstore. You earn free books, free shipping if it's over like $20 or something like that. I don't even think it's that much. I think it's like 10 or 15. But it's good. It's great.
Shouldn't shipping for books be free anyway because it's media mail?
I don't know anything about the mail system, so I'm not the one to ask.
Well, somebody tell us in the comments.
Yeah, you should. But also, kind of relevant to our podcast, one of the books that I got with your gift card is Men, Women, and Chainsaws, Gender in Modern Horror Films.
Oh, we talked about that.
Yeah, by Carol J. Clover. So I'm excited to read it.
Yeah, that's fun. Exciting. Yeah,
I know. Very excited for that. So thank you, Katie.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. That wasn't the point of bringing it up, but okay.
We'll see how we went full circle, though, because at first I was bullying you for it, and now I'm thanking you, so.
Yeah.
I think that shows growth.
Yeah, growth.
Yeah.
Between yesterday and today.
I think maybe I should even get praise for that.
Wow. Okay.
Just kidding.
I am so proud of you.
No, stop.
You're throwing a fit yesterday. And now changing your tune.
Thank you. That's all I ask.
Oh, God. Okay, well, anyway.
Yeah. We're here to talk about Black Coat's Daughter, but we're not going to do that yet because we got stuff for you guys to know about.
Yeah, news.
But if you don't care, you know, hit that 30-second fast-forward button like 9 times.
Yeah.
And you can hear us talk about it.
Literally like 9 times at least.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with news.
Okay.
And I'll go first.
That's how we discussed it.
Well, yeah, but they don't know that we discussed it. Shh. They'll never know. All right. Atomic Monster, Blumhouse, and Doppelgangers are producing a new Mummy movie, as in the classic Universal monster. And we finally got confirmation that Lee Cronin is going to direct and write. So that's exciting. He's directed a few horror movies, but most recently, Evil Dead Rise, which was very dark, very gory. Will that be in the new Mummy? I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll have to wait and see.
You didn't tell them about the thing.
What thing?
Well, what is it called? Atomic Monster is James Wan.
Yep.
Blumhouse obviously is Jason Blum.
Yeah.
Blum, whatever.
Blum.
And then Lee Cronin is
Doppelganger. Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the news.
Oh, I'm sorry that it's those three.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah, they're having fun together.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of mediocre, so maybe together
I'm gonna defend at least James Wan.
Oh yeah, he's the most.
He's effective. Friends with the Wan-El, who's my baby girl, but in a not weird way at all. Anyways, and also I think that James Wan only kind of got worse after Blumhouse took over Atomic Monster. So I think, because they like work together a lot, right? It's like under their wing. Because now he wants to do that. Blumhouse wants to do that with Damien Leone after Terrifier did so well. Oh. We might see the Blumhouseification of the Terrifier series.
How can you make it worse? How can you make Terrifier worse than it is? I'll tell you. Blumhouse takes over. Great. They ruin everything, including things that can't even be ruined.
Wow. Yeah.
These are so bad.
You know?
No. Blumhouse has some good movies. Just not recently.
Just not. Yeah. Truly. All right. What's your news?
Oh, yeah. We got a trailer for the new A24 horror comedy Death of a Unicorn. It stars Jenna Ortega, Will Poulter, and Paul Rudd, and is scheduled for spring of 2025. So a few months. I think I sent you the trailer on TikTok. I think you had already seen it.
I had.
I just didn't. Like, why hadn't we heard about it? We hadn't heard about it yet.
I had heard about it, but I don't know if I said anything because I didn't. It was just one of those things where I think I read about the concept of it and that it was greenlit, but I didn't know. Like, it's hard to tell what the vibe of that is going to be until you kind of see a trailer.
Yeah. Well, the vibe looks good. Two kind of tidbits about it. We also learned with the release of the trailer. Well, I guess we already knew these things. Ari Aster is producing, number one. And number two, John Carpenter is doing the score.
Oh.
Yeah. I love John Carpenter.
I know you do. How exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that one looks fun.
Yeah, it looks like Ari Aster.
Yeah.
You know?
Weird.
He's not even direct. He's just producing it, though, so.
Yeah.
But it's something that he would put his money behind, obviously, which is exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, we're going to tell you all the movies that are coming out in January. All the horror movies.
There's a lot. Strap in. Strap in and strap on.
For our last January horror movie. It was terrible.
Yeah, we're not making that mistake again. We're watching a December movie in January. So we don't get bamboozled.
I was really excited to talk about that today, but.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Not yet. Next week. Okay, I'll start. January 3rd, we're getting two releases. One is The Damned. It's set in a 19th century fishing outpost. It follows Eva, a widow, facing a harrowing decision when a shipwrecked crew seeks refuge during a brutal winter. As resources dwindle, the community's choice between compassion and survival leads to haunting consequences.
Oh, they eat each other.
That would be my guess. Also on that day, we are getting The Monster Beneath Us. This is about a woman whose son says that he found a new friend living in the basement of their country house. She doesn't suspect anything initially, but when she notices her boy spending more and more time in the basement, she begins to suspect that there is something afoot there. She goes to investigate the mystery. That's getting a limited theatrical release.
Okay.
It sounds kind of like the sequel to Babadook.
Yeah, I was literally going to say Babadook.
Yeah. Monsters in the Basement, baby.
Yeah, there's never an original thought ever in movies. Nope.
Well, Death of a Unicorn's pretty.
Okay, yeah.
On January 7th, we are getting George A. Romero's Resident Evil, the documentary. We talked about it a couple episodes back, but it's about Romero's unmade Resident Evil movie. It's going to chronicle the process behind his rejected script, and it also combines a narration with Romero's specific style. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
On the 10th, we are getting Bird Eater, which is about a bride-to-be who crashes her fiancé's bachelor party in the remote Australian outback. Fun. What begins as a wild celebration descends into chaos as unsettling truths surface, turning the outback adventure into a feral nightmare.
Oh.
At first, when I saw Bird Eater, I thought it was based on the book by Anya Alborn, but it's not.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Thank you for clarifying.
Everybody out there who thinks maybe it is. I don't think so. Also on that day, we have Survive. A family is caught in a major storm that almost destroys their boat. When they regain composure, they discover that the Earth's polarity has changed and that the water is being drained from the oceans. And that means that hungry creatures from the deep are there to hunt for prey.
Just the dead don't die.
Someone said that it's a reverse Jaws, but I was like, that's still just Jaws because they're worried about creatures in the ocean. Which is just Jaws. So I'm Jaws would be like, reverse Jaws would be like from the shark's POV.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's going to be released on VOD, and it sounds like it should be. that was mean. I'm so sorry to everybody involved in Survive. It sounds stupid.
It does.
And then last from me, on the 13th, we are getting Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare. It's going to be the latest addition to the Twisted Childhood universe. And it's about Wendy Darling embarking on a perilous quest to rescue her brother Michael from the clutches of a malevolent Peter Pan. He's the villain in this.
Oh, good.
And apparently there's going to be a disturbingly transformed Tinkerbell as well. So
great.
Can't imagine that won't be a absolute smash.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic. Tell us about the last half of January, Katie.
Okay, yeah. I'm just writing out an idea for a movie.
Yeah,
okay.
I can hear.
Sorry. January 16th, we get what I'm looking forward to the most, based on the title alone, Dino Gator. This is a blend between a dinosaur and an alligator created by a scientist who now has to venture back to the murky swamps with a group of people to save the whole community from being brutally eaten and killed by the very monster he created.
Sounds like a blast, honestly.
Yeah, it does. It really sounds fun.
Yeah.
The 17th of January, we get Wolfman, finally, a reboot of the 1941 classic starring Christopher Abbott as Blake, who relocates his family to his inherited rural Oregon home. A nocturnal creature's attack triggers a terrifying transformation in Blake, forcing his wife to confront the horrors lurking both outside and within their home. Both Eyes Open also comes out on January 17th. Allie, the main character of this movie, escapes from an abusive relationship, but things aren't as good as they should be. She is hallucinating about her abuser and soon begins to receive cryptic messages that confuse and scare her even more. But as she begins to dig deeper into the mystery of the messages, she starts to uncover a ghastly truth. Ooh. That's just Invisible Man. On the 24th, Presence comes out. This centers on a family moving into a new home, only to discover an otherworldly entity. That's just every horror movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the 24th, Scream, but not to shout on any of these movies. We should give them their chance. but just reinforcing the fact there's no original stories. Screamboat also comes out the 24th. This is finally, we finally get this. They've been talking about this forever. A take on Steamboat Willie. A group of New Yorkers finds themselves terrorized by a murderous mouse, blending nostalgia with nightmarish thrills.
I think that's also David Howard Thornton, who's playing Steamboat Willie in that, which is Art the Clown. Yeah.
Art.
I want to say that he got cast in that.
That's fun.
Yeah.
All of them are going to see it. All of them are going to see it. They're going to be the ones that like it.
Yeah.
All of them. So many of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then on January 31st, which I forgot about, there is a January 31st. Companion. A billionaire's death sets off a chain of events for Iris and her friends during a weekend trip to his lakeside estate. It stars Jack Quaid and Sophie Thatcher.
Yeah. Also, can I just say, bold of you to keep saying that there's no original thoughts when on January 16th we're getting Dino Gator? It's a crazy thing for you to say.
That's literally just Jurassic Park. That's how they make the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. They fuck with the DNA.
No, those and they are mix real them dinosaurs. All up. They're not hybrids, Katie.
Yeah, whatever. They are. Literally, in Jurassic World, the dinosaurs are all hybrids.
Okay.
They need to make them bigger and scarier.
Bold of you to think that I kept watching.
They're not bad. They're not good.
Oh, great. Okay.
Companion is the one that uses the Campbell's font.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? Yeah. It looks like
Campbell's. I will say, I'm trying not to get my hopes up because, you know, January is not known for good releases, but I am pretty excited about Wolfman and Companion.
Yeah, me too.
Based on what I've seen from them, they seem the most promising.
I agree.
Cool. Well, we'll find out next month.
Cool. Exciting.
Very. All right, are we ready to talk about Black Hood's Daughter?
I am.
Great. I'll give you a little rundown. During the dead of winter, a troubled young woman embarks on a mysterious journey to an isolated prep school where two stranded students face a sinister threat from an unseen force. That's from Google. It is a 2017 A24 horror film directed and written by Oz Perkins. It stars Emma Roberts, Kiernan Shipka, and Lucy Boynton. It made about $40,000 at the box office. I could not find anything about the budget, so there's that. It has a 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb, a 68% on Metacritic, and a 77% critics and 52% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So kind of a little bit all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
Some people like it, some people hate it.
52% audience score resonates. It feels like half of people
half of people like it.
Half of people really
do not like it. Yeah. Yeah.
Also about the cost of the film.
Yeah.
A couple interviews, Oz Perkins kind of alluded to the fact they didn't have a lot of money. They were doing stuff quick. One take.
Yes. It was definitely low budget. I just couldn't find actual numbers.
Same.
But yeah, Perkins said that it was kind of in the middle of a horror slump, so it was kind of hard to find financing.
Yeah.
And it took a while for them to sell it, too.
Yes. Yeah. Which is a bummer. I mean, I think it deserved a wide release.
Yeah. It didn't even get in theater. I think it was a limited release and then direct to VOD. Yeah. Or did it even get released in theaters?
Well, it did, but it was like 12 or 15 theaters. It was not a lot.
Okay, yeah.
So it was very limited.
So definitely explains the $40,000 at the box office. Mm-hmm.
Which is a bummer, but...
Yeah.
I like a little reality check for a Nepo baby.
Very fair. Yeah, it's your first film. You can't really expect it to, like... be a smash, right?
Yeah. And what's crazy is that, like, this is his first film that he developed and directed, but it's not even the first one that came out. That Netflix movie that he did came out first.
Oh, I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House or something like that?
Yeah, it's a very long, stupid title.
Yeah, and he wrote for a couple things before this, too, but this is his first.
Yeah. And they're all kind of devil, you know?
Yeah. My guy loves the devil. Big fan.
Yeah. In one interview, he was talking about, like, his childhood. And he said it was very normal. But I don't understand how you come out of childhood to make movies all about the devil and say, and your childhood was normal. I don't know.
Yeah. I did read, he was talking in another interview about how that part of it is kind of a backdrop, not really what he wanted to focus on in the movie. So he said, this is a movie about losing your parents. And he pulled that from his life because he lost both of his parents. He said he doesn't even really know his dad.
Yeah.
So yeah, he says that's kind of just like the Trojan horse for the reality that he's presenting is the whole satanic part of it, whereas in reality it's just a story about grief and how you suffer through that loss.
Sad.
I know.
He also says he's not a horror guy. Please.
Sounds fake, Mr. Yeah. Perkins, but okay.
He also said, he's just full of contradictions with this movie, he also said this isn't a slasher. With all the stabbing and slashing, I mean, it's not really a slasher, but there was a lot of stabbing and slashing for not a slasher.
I am inclined to agree with him. I would not categorize this as a slasher.
No. But...
sorry.
Don't stab and slash so much.
Stop. Hey, guys. Stop stabbing and slashing.
Speaking of Nepo babies. I'm annoyed at Elvis Perkins.
What did he do to you?
Personally?
Yeah.
He scored this film, and it was really good, but he fucking complained about it. He's like, oh, it almost killed me. Then give the job to somebody who maybe doesn't have the opportunity to get jobs like this all the time. Like you, Elvis.
Elvis. Yeah, that's Oz Perkins' brother.
Yeah.
He did do the score.
Yeah. It's just like, if you're going to get a Nepo baby thing, like a job on a movie as a composer, yeah, don't fucking complain about it. Just don't do it anymore. You know?
That's, you know, valid.
Thank you.
I don't know what was, I think something was going on maybe in their personal lives around the time that this was being made. Because Oz Perkins also said in an interview that he was in a really bad place when this all was getting made.
Oh.
Yeah, he said that they didn't have any prep time on the movie. So there was like 2 weeks to just like get everything sorted. The weather in Canada was insane, very, very cold. But yeah, he said that there was one point when Kiernan Shipka came out with her hair done in this like beautiful back braid, I think near the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at her and he's like, did I approve this? This looks great. Like, what? But he has just nothing. He was like, the hair department just killed it. Like, I didn't have anything to do with it because he was just not in a great place mentally or physically. So said he wasn't really sleeping and stuff. So I don't know if it was just because it was such a quick, stressful process or,
mm-hmm,
yeah, I don't know.
Hmm. Well, if there was something going on in their personal life, then I feel bad for them. If there was nothing going on in their personal life and they were just like, oh, it's so hard to make a movie, grow up. Give the job to people who aren't Nepo babies.
Yeah, exactly. No complaining allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the weather,
mm-hmm,
it was the coldest weather in recorded history. It was negative 35 degrees.
Yep.
The fake blood was freezing to Emma Roberts' face.
Yeah, it was the week that she had to do all of her outdoor scenes.
Of course.
No, thank you.
And she was like, they literally comment in the movie too about how like you're going to freeze to death and that you're not wearing a jacket. Like, she literally was not wearing any clothes.
Yeah. She was not wearing what you would want to wear in that weather.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
There was no heat in the car.
This movie, I mean, it was cold, obviously, when they're filming, and it takes place in February, so it's cold. But, like, mm-hmm, I feel like you can feel it through the screen. Like, it feels cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird, because I even, like, I wrote this down to say later. It's, like, a warm movie. Like,
color-wise. Mm. Yeah, but it feels cold.
Yeah. Strange.
Yeah, it wasn't like grayed out like Eggers.
Blue, like Twilight.
Eggers Twilight. Exactly like Twilight. Yeah, but it just, you can feel it when you're watching it.
Yeah.
You gotta get a little blanky.
Yeah. Speaking of Twilight, the other day, mm-hmm, we were watching this holiday movie and it was very blue and the camera was doing like weird stuff. And I was like, this feels like Twilight. And sure enough, it was the same cinematographer.
Bro loves blue.
Yeah, he really does. Crazy. Warm it up a little, you know?
Just a little.
Yeah, it can still feel cold and be warm.
Yeah.
Case in point.
Exactly. Exactly.
Kind of leads us to, the movie was originally called February.
Which it is was.
It takes place. The Kiernan Shipka timeline is February.
Well, both.
Are they both?
Yeah, because it's exactly 9 years after.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. They mentioned that it was on the anniversary. That's why the parents were going back.
Right.
So yeah, both timelines take place in February. So that was what it was originally called. And Perkins said that he wished that it would have stayed that way.
Fair.
But yeah, A24 requested that they change it. They wanted something a little bit more on brand for the genre. And then he took Black Coat's Daughter from the score that Elvis Perkins did. So the opening and ending song has those lyrics in it, where it says that.
Which it does not mean the devil, by the way. Like I said last night when we were watching it.
I think it kind of does.
It means clergyman.
Clergyman. Oh, black coat. Like the actual definition.
Yeah, a black coat is a pejorative word for clergymen.
Right, but his intention was that it was supposed to be reflective of that dark demonic figure. He said the devil. So, yeah. So I think saying that the black coat in this reference is the devil is fair.
He wasn't even wearing a coat.
So, okay. I think maybe you're taking it a little too literally, Katie. Okay.
All right. Should we explain the timeline thing?
Sure.
You go ahead.
Oh, I have to.
No, I can't.
It's up to you.
I mean, just like a high level explaining the movie.
Yeah.
It's three different characters, two different timelines, but it's actually only two different characters. He just stunt casted to make you think it was three different characters and that you were going to like, they were all going to meet at the end. And yeah, that is not what happens. It turns out that they're two of the same characters, but anyway, yeah, that was all. That's the story.
Yeah. That wasn't really the explanation.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, okay. So
should I just read what I wrote back to you?
Let me try.
Okay.
So she is thinking back on her time at the school while she is trying to like cope with the death of her parents and like that she's all alone. And she's like, I know what I'll do. This idiot exercised me and I didn't want him to go because he was my only friend. And so she goes back to the school and she goes to the what's it called? Boiler thing. To summon him, she kills the two people and she's like, okay, here's my sacrifice. Let's go. But the boiler's cold. He's not there anymore. He was banished. He was exorcised. So, and then she's really alone. She's so alone. So she cries.
Yeah.
Okay, now read what you wrote. I'm just going to be word for word what I just said.
Word for word. This was what I wrote. We watched this with some friends and Katie was like, this doesn't have a plot. And so I had to say, yes, it does. Yeah, so Kat and Joan, Kiernan Shipka and Emma Roberts, they're the same person. Mm-hmm. Kat, at the boarding school, is talking with the devil, in quotes. He instructs her to kill everyone. That's one timeline that we see. And then she prays to him in the boiler room. But 9 years later, at that time, she gets sent to a mental institution. 9 years after that, Kat, shown as Joan, is hitchhiking back to the school. She's coincidentally picked up by Rose's parents, one of the people that she killed. In the hotel room, Rose's dad talks about the signs from God, and that's why he picked her up. And essentially, I think Kat sees this as kind of a sign from the devil instead. So she beheads them, sacrifices them to the boiler room, but the devil's no longer there. She's left alone again. And I do think it's up to interpretation whether or not that devil is real or not.
Yes. I think he's real because we saw him.
So, yeah. Again, with the literal interpretations. I think we're seeing a lot of this through Kat's perspective. So whether or not us seeing it is real or not, who's to say? And Perkins even said that he likes that it's up for interpretation.
Yeah. I personally think it's a personification of grief. It's just the Babadook. But that's depression.
Yeah. Every good horror movie is just a personification of grief.
Yep.
No, but yeah, Perkins absolutely confirmed that. Like, direct quote from him. He said, what's important is that we are watching this person go through this thing. What that thing is between her and the thing. It's like trying to reach a loved one who's in the throes of a traumatic experience, a breakup, drug addiction, death, or something like that. There's no way into it. I've experienced the loss of people who are very significant to me, but that doesn't mean that when my friend also experiences the loss of a significant person that I have any way into it. It's a very private experience. So whether it is the devil possessing this girl or whether she is simply not okay anymore, all that matters is that she gets to the road at the end and has nowhere left to go. That is what I care about the most. All that matters is we arrive at the last scene.
Yeah.
I think the last scene of this movie is like really sad.
No. The acting took me out of it.
I don't understand that at all. Me and everybody else in the Discord were like, no.
Oh, the two other people.
Yeah, they agreed with me. Ivan Grackin is very good at the end.
I didn't like it. I was fine throughout the rest.
I think you just don't like her.
I don't like her. Sorry. But, I don't know. It just, I mean, I got it. I did watch it again, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Right after or this morning?
Late last night.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel like I gave it the right attention.
Yeah, I could feel. Yeah. We kept arguing about Donnie Darko instead of watching the movie.
Because that is what he looked like. This is a fucking bunny.
I was surprised that you went there and not immediately to Long Legs, because I feel like that's... When I watched Long Legs, I was like, okay, Oz, you're doing it again.
What?
The, like, shadows of the devil. That's what he did all throughout Long Legs.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right.
He took it from this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you like an idea and you didn't... He didn't even like this movie. He was complaining about how he didn't like it when he was filming it. He didn't like it when they were editing it. He didn't like it when they were putting it together until finally they showed it to people at some festival and they liked it. And he's like, okay, fine. I guess I'll like it.
Well, I feel like it probably is difficult and stressful making your first film on a shoestring budget. And
yeah,
I can understand kind of resenting it or like thinking about all the ways it could have been better. I get it. You get in your own head about things. At least I do. And especially like it taking that long to get picked up, you probably do start to think, this is shit.
I say stand behind your work.
Yeah. I agree, but I think it's a little bit easier said than done.
And then?
Oh, great.
Sorry.
Casting wise, they hired Emma Roberts, and then she read the script and she recommended Kiernan Shipka to Perkins. So that's how he found her. Because she'd really only done like Mad Men at that point. Like that was what she was most known for.
Totally.
And he'd never seen it, so he didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. And then I guess Kiernan got the script on a Monday and then called on Tuesday and said she wanted it.
Nice.
Yeah.
The script scared Emma Roberts, supposedly.
Yeah.
Some places say that she couldn't sleep after, but she said specifically that she did sleep, but she woke up in like a sweat from a nightmare.
Oh.
Poor thing. I want to read what she read because I don't.
Perkins said in an interview that there was really no improvisation. Like everything that we see was on the page. So I think it's pretty much what we saw was what the script was.
Interesting.
Yeah, he said editing-wise, too, like, there weren't scenes that were cut or footage that wasn't really used. It was just kind of, it is what it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Stick to your project, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't let people bully you into changing it and stand by it.
Well, maybe no one was bullying. I don't know. I have mixed feelings because I feel like sometimes I'll watch a movie and I'm like, oh, I really liked that. And I read that it's page to screen, right? Like everything, no improv, everything was what it was. And I'm like, good. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
But then I'll watch a movie where it's like, oh, this character improvised this and that made it into the final cut or they changed this based on a suggestion. And I'm like, yeah, that worked. Yeah. That's how it should be. So I think I'm just... Different things work for different projects, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just all boils down to the talent of, I mean, is the talent from the director and the writer, or is the talent from the actor and actress?
Yeah, but I think there's also, like, sometimes a balance of the two.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, both are contributing and kind of making it something new than what it started as, that I don't mind.
I think comedy writing probably is more the improv.
Yeah, that's
where
fair.
That, you know, lands better.
Yeah. Yeah, Perkins said that after he hired Kiernan, it was like he didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to direct her really at all.
Nice.
And he was like, which was good because I wasn't mentally well and it's my first time directing, so I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. So he's like, he's like, there's no way that I can tell her what to do better than what she's going to do because she's the actress. So I kind of liked that. I was like, he really trusted her to do it. And I think she did it.
Yeah, she was very good. I even said, like, she was able to act so subtly, but also so loudly, I think is what I said at the same time, which is very impressive. She was only like, what, 16? 15? 16?
She had just turned 15 when they made it.
Which is another thing that people complain about in this movie is that, like, oh, why did you cast two actresses that look the same age? Like, yeah, I guess they do kind of look the same age, but they are 9 years apart.
Yeah, I don't think that they do look the same age in this.
Oh, I kind of did.
Oh, no, I think Kiernan looks younger.
Oh. I mean, either way, it was definitely stunt casting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it... I think also in Long Legs, which are, like, the two... movie. I have seen I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, but I wasn't paying attention when I watched it, so I need to give that one a rewatch because it went in and out. So, but those are the two that I've like actually paid attention to his films, and I feel like in both of them, like you can tell that he really cares about the style of the film.
Yeah,
like that's what's in the forefront. I don't know if this movie would be as compelling if it was told chronologically.
Right.
I think what makes it interesting is that it's told out of order. But yeah, I mean, for it to work, they couldn't just cast the same person. Like, it has to be two different people. Otherwise, the entire point of it is just gone.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And I think, I think they did have to look sort of the same age, too, because... otherwise, it would have been too easy to guess.
Yeah. I think part of it hinges on you thinking she's going to the boarding school.
There's some sort of, like, cult happening.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to remember, like, what I thought first time watching. And I don't know if I thought she was, like, because I did think they looked older. I thought maybe she was, like, a sister or a relative going there. Mm-hmm. And I thought the parents were one of the two's parents. Roses or Cats. I think I thought that they were Roses just because, like, going to pick her up because they thought it was on Friday instead. I didn't know that it was, like, obviously two different timelines. I thought that.
Right.
But then when they started talking about, like, oh, our daughter died and stuff, that's when I kind of clicked that I was like, okay, they're not.
Right.
Or I don't think it was that because that's when he shows her the picture and you know. But I think it was more when he was in the hotel room talking to her and said, like, oh, you remind me of someone that I kind of started to put it together that I was like, okay, I don't think that this is told chronologically.
Yeah. See, I thought that we were getting like a ghost. I thought that Catherine was a ghost and she died in the car accident and the parents lived.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So sort of like reverse others.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. And I, the first time I watched it, I didn't catch the like shoulder thing. I didn't see Emma Roberts's shoulder.
The bullet.
Yes. The wound. Yeah. So it didn't hit me until I saw it the second time watching it that, oh, that was the point where you connect that they're the same person.
Yeah. Yeah.
When she's getting shot in the shoulder.
Yeah, that's, like, the definitive moment where it's like, okay, yes.
They're definitely,
they're definitely the same person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I could tell that we were chatting too much because I was like, I feel like we're missing parts of it.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but did you realize that Rose wasn't pregnant the first time you watched it?
No. Not until she got her period.
Yeah, okay, but that's the moment. I didn't know if you caught that because we were arguing in the chat when it happened. So I was like, does she even know that she just found out she's not pregnant?
Oh, yes, that I did. Yeah, I thought she was pregnant up until that point.
Yes, you're supposed to.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay. But no, I did catch that she, yes.
Yeah.
But I, Catherine goes straight for the stomach. So I was like, is she, like, what, was she not just... not pregnant? Like, she's just not pregnant a second ago. So I didn't know if, like, Catherine still thought she was pregnant or what, but, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, possible, because she just found out, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but. Yeah. I didn't know if that was an intentional stab to the stomach or if she was just stabbing to stab.
Yeah. Hard to say.
Yeah. I'll ask her.
Great.
What do you think she does after this movie? Goes back to the hospital or freezes to death?
I don't know.
Sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I do think the ending of this movie's sad.
It is sad. It's sad. I just didn't think that the acting was...
Yeah. I disagree. I thought it was very good. Ugh. I could feel it. I could feel the pain.
Did you catch that the voice of the demon is one of the actors who voiced Mother in Psycho?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Old. They'd have to be really old.
Yeah, that's what I was just... I was trying to do the math in my head.
Like, wait a minute. Did I get a bad fact? Hold on.
It's like, hold on. Wait a minute.
Okay. Voice of demon in... It doesn't explicitly say who voiced the demonic presence.
Oh. Where did you find the fact?
I don't know, some blog. I believed it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I believe a blog fact.
Is Paul Jasmine still alive? Born in April 1935. I think it's possible. Anyway, we don't need to dwell on it.
Yeah.
Take that fact with a grain of salt. It's possible.
Yeah. It's possible, but unconfirmed.
Yeah. It is.
You confirmed it?
It's Paul Jasmine. Yep.
How did you confirm it?
Another blog.
Oh, Katie.
Two separate blogs. It's two separate blogs.
You can't take blogs as fact.
Yeah, I believe it.
Okay, well, again, take that with a grain of salt because two blogs are not, it would not hold up in court.
Yeah.
But Katie believes it, so you can believe it if you want to.
Yeah, I believe
it. Just know that it's maybe not true. Perkins was asked, and this was when he just had this and I Am the Pretty Thing out. Now we have Long Legs as well, I guess, to fall under that. But he was asked why he always casts women in the lead roles. And he said, because I fucking hate women. No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine?
No. Oh my God.
I just saved that for the end. No, I'm kidding. He said women are more interesting to him and that he thinks horror is kind of about the things that are hidden from us, so that kind of adds it to him, because he's like, I'm never gonna fully understand what it's like to be a woman, and that's interesting to him, so he likes to be able to have a hidden aspect to his own movies.
Interesting. I know. So he's using that. Women.
Stop.
I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
No, he said that the feminine experience gives him a way to explore that existence that he doesn't endure himself, so.
I like it.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah. Totally unrelated. Completely unrelated.
Got it. Great.
You've seen the poster of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of gives it away.
Because they're, like, connected?
Yeah, they're, like, one brain, sort of.
Yeah.
I liked that. Very subtle.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the poster for this. It's like also, floating heads, but not in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. Also, completely unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
Bramford, I didn't recognize, but I learned after the fact, it's also the name of the apartment building from Rosemary's Baby.
It is.
Which also is one of the movies that Osgood Perkins sent to the cast to watch before they started filming.
Oh, okay.
As, like, inspiration.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Cute.
That checks out.
Yeah.
This isn't a fun fact at all, but can I just say, rewatching this movie, actually not even rewatching it, because I feel like you maybe feel this the first time you're watching it too, but we know now that Joan is Kat, right? Yeah. But imagine she's not, and, like, she's just some random hitchhiker that this couple picked up, and the mom just is, like, trauma dumping about their dead kid on her.
Yeah. Well,
she's like, I can't even see you. You're not even there. You're not my daughter. It's like, girl, she never claimed to be.
But yeah, I mean, it's still weird because they don't know that she's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like, we know it. So like, it's not, I don't know. We know that there's something up with Joan, period.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't feel that off, but in the grand scheme of things, that's a weird thing to just start saying to some stranger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I mean, also, it's weird to just pick up a young woman off the side of the road.
Yeah.
And then to, like, say in front of her, we're dropping her off to the next gas station. Like, as if she's not even there. And then almost in the same breath to start trauma dumping on her.
Parents, honestly, yeah, it was very uncomfortable. Because in the mom's defense, I would not want to pick up a hitchhiker.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry. I get that some people just need help, but, like,
yeah.
I don't want to die. And so I would be pissed at my husband for doing that. But also, like, I get that the explanation is that she reminds him of his daughter and, like, I think he's supposed to have good intentions, but like the whole hotel scene where he comes in and she's in the towel and they're like sitting on the bed talking.
Yeah.
Just creepy.
It's creepy.
Which I guess is probably the point, because at that point, that's very early on. And I don't know if you're supposed to know which of them has sinister intent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're just supposed to feel off.
Yes.
But yeah.
I still didn't see her killing the parents coming.
I know. You were very surprised.
I was surprised by that. But it's probably because I wasn't paying attention.
No, I think that's fair. It's still a kind of a jarring, quick thing that happens.
Yeah. Just so. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, any other fun facts about the movie The Black Coat's Daughter?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
Mike Flanagan lists this as one of his favorite horror movies.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He's a big fan.
It's weird. It's not really like supernatural exactly. It's like, it's more like possession exorism than.
I feel like there's still, that's kind of, yeah, that's still, I feel like, in the realm of supernatural paranormal.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. But this does seem in his realm.
Oh, okay.
Like a very atmospheric slow burn.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah.
That's Mike Flanagan.
Yeah.
Do you have any other fun facts?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I did one other thing I was going to mention is that this was the perfect length.
The film?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hour and a half.
Love that. I love movies that are an hour and a half.
Yeah. Because you can watch two of them in the time that you would watch one other movie.
Exactly.
Just want to like get through them, you know? Well.
Yeah.
Should we rate it?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. How scary do you think it was?
I gave it a 1 out of 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about it. I think it just, maybe it's the like supernatural aspect of it, but it didn't really scare me.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I thought the score and the sound design really added to the scare factor. It was really effective at making it a little bit spooky.
Yeah.
And Karen and Shipka's character and acting were also very unnerving.
Yeah.
But when the literal devil is in your movie and he's not the scariest part, maybe you should revisit that.
Oh, see, that's kind of what I like about it.
Yeah? Okay, well, anyway, I give it a 2.
I don't think the devil's scary. Come on.
But that, I mean, he should be, don't you think?
Yeah, but I feel like he's like the presence looming over it, you know?
Yeah, that should be scary. And he was a bunny.
He wasn't a bunny. Those were his horns.
Well, they should have been more defined as horns.
Fair. How sexy did you think it was?
There was like a little tone about it. You know? Yeah. I think I said earlier it was like a really warm film despite being cold. And it was like sort of like, is it 80s? Is it 90s? Is it early 2000s? Sort of. Which is like, you know, a vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
I gave it, I don't know, I can't explain it, but I gave it a 1.5.
I like that. I also gave it a 1.5.
Okay.
I think it's just like the cold aspect of it. Something about that It's like, oh, hold me. It's cold out, you know?
Okay.
I don't know.
It's February.
Yeah, it's February. Oh, Valentine's Day.
There's nothing Valentine's Day about this movie. Let's get that very fucking clear.
No. And when she's marking the calendar, I think it's like a week after Valentine's Day, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Valentine's Day had already been crossed out.
Yeah. Anyways, just vibes.
Yeah, vibes. How fucked up did you think it was?
I give it a one. Just kind of classic stabbings. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Yeah, all right.
What did you give it?
I mean, I agree. It was pretty standard horror stuff, but it was shot really realistically, I felt like.
Yeah, that's fair.
It wasn't like tchotchke, you know?
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. Lots of stabbing and slashing for a movie that Oz Perkins says isn't a slasher. But I gave it a 2.5.
It's not a slasher.
I know, but then why put so much slashing in it?
Okay, but you can't say that you know it's not a slasher and then be mad that it's not a slasher.
But it's... There is slashing happening. Like, aspects of what makes a slasher movie is the slasher's coming and going to slash you.
Once again, I'm going to say you are taking things too literally, Katie. A slasher is not defined by someone getting slashed. That but can happen in any horror movie.
But you're being, like, stalked by a murderer, slasher, and that was happening. There were elements of slashers in this, more than just the slashing.
Okay. Sure.
I gave it a
2.5.
It can
be a slasher to you if you want.
Thank you. It's a 2.5 on the fucked up scale for me because it was shot so realistically.
Okay. Valid. Overall, what did you think?
Would you give it for fucked up a 1?
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Sorry. Is it?
Yeah. There's a lot of stabbing. There's more. This was more fucked up than fucking Infinity Pool was. There was more stabbing, more.
No.
Like... no?
Infinity Pool was more fucked up. Bro's a dog.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about the dog part. Yeah, that was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Overall, okay. Granted, I had to watch it twice because I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. This is not a movie to be distracted during, definitely. I didn't think it was like hard to understand, but it does seem like that's what divides people. If you understood it, you liked it. If you didn't like it.
Fair.
Once I gave it the attention that it deserved, I did like it a lot better, obviously. I do think it was smart. I think Karen Shipka is stunning in it. She's amazing. The cinematography was beautiful. The sound design and score were perfect, even though I'm not happy at Elvis Perkins. However, I do think that if like stunt casting is what it takes for you to pull off a twist, that's not like super impressive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, between that and Emma Roberts just not doing it for me at the end, and there's zero rewatchability. You can't rewatch this, really.
I've rewatched this 3 times.
Okay, well, most people wouldn't rewatch this, I don't think, because the twist is there. Anyway, all that, I gave it a 3. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It was better than it was score. Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fair score.
Thank you. Yeah. What'd you give it?
I give it a 3.5.
Okay.
I liked it more than you.
Yeah. That's fine. You can have it.
I will. I'll take it. Yeah. Controversially, I like this better than Long Legs. Oh.
Well.
I think story-wise, it just is better. And I think I mentioned this during our episode on Long Legs, that I like that this movie has a more grounded supernatural feel to it. Like, there's that ambiguity that's not lost. Whereas in Long Legs, like the last half, you lose any ambiguity. It is paranormal, period. Like, there's no question.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely like a personal preference because I like things that are a little bit more grounded. It just works way better for me. I like that there's this question of, is this real or is this not real?
Yeah.
And also, I kind of like the fact that it doesn't matter. Like, she is alone at the end. I think the ending is very sad. I like Emma Roberts acting in the end. I think she did a fantastic job. I don't know. I've read some things that say people didn't like it because it was a little like half-baked, like the characters didn't develop fully. And I kind of disagree. I think it is a simple story, but I think it's well told. I get, you know, the stunt casting, that might not do it for you. It didn't bother me really, because I do think that they kind of look alike. And 15 to, what, 24? Your face is going to change a bit. Like, you're not going to look exactly the same. So that doesn't bother me at all. And yeah, it did need that for it to work. But I like a story that has a little bit of a different structure to it.
Fair.
Yeah. I like this. I'm a Black Coat's Daughter defender.
But only 70% of the time. 3.5 out of 5.
70% of the time, every time.
Anyway, it was not it was not bad. I think had I not rewatched it and given it the attention that it deserved, it would have been a lot lower. But
yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it definitely isn't. It's a slow burn. It's very much, you kind of got to pay attention to catch all the little clues and things that it's showing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think to, I don't know why I didn't think about this, but I didn't even think to compare it to Long Legs. I do think it was much smarter than Long Legs. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think I liked him about the same, if not maybe Long Legs a little more.
Yeah.
The novelty of Long Legs is wearing off. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the style of Long Legs. There are a lot of things about Long Legs that I really liked. But I think the main thing that it comes down to for me is that ambiguity.
Yeah.
Like, Long Legs really lost me in the last half.
Yeah.
And this one did not.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think I would rate it above Long Legs.
Yeah.
But that's controversial. I am not the majority there, so.
Yeah. I don't think enough people have seen this movie.
Yeah, that's also very fair. Would you survive?
Yeah, I think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm in Karen Shipka's shoes, I don't think I'm killing people.
Okay, well, she's possessed, so.
But is she?
Well, or is that's it just the question. Grief?
Like, therapy is an option that she was not taking.
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll live in not thriving.
Definitely not thriving.
But living. Well, I guess she lives too, so that's.
That's true.
I'm just living and not killing anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's valid.
Not the way I want to go to prison. How about you?
I think so. Because, yeah, either I'm either Kiernan or Rose, I think, right? Like, I'm not a parent, so I'm not the parents.
Yeah.
And I think if I'm Rose and I think I'm pregnant, I'm still going home. My mom would be fine. So we're going to figure it out together. So I wouldn't lie to them and stay extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm Kiernan, if we're saying that it's, you know, mental illness is the cause of all of this because of the grief. I've been mentally ill for a long time and I've never killed anybody. So
yeah,
I guess I'm just better. So.
Yeah. Built different.
Yeah. Granted, both my parents didn't die at the same time. Just one. But I handled that like a champ. So here we are.
Yep. Yeah. Knock on wood. God.
Yeah. No, that's not. If my mom dies, I die the next day. Yeah.
Be like, who are they?
And this is our last episode because I just got committed.
Oh my god.
I'm just kidding.
Like Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, that was sad.
That was backwards though. All the way around.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
Anywho. Nice. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thanks, yeah.
So it's a fun little slow burn. I feel like this one's underrated. I suggest this one a lot because I'm
Yes. You know,
a lot of people haven't seen it, so.
Yeah. Good one to recommend.
Yeah. Okay, next week we're going to be talking about Nosferatu. You've already seen it.
I saw it.
I think I know what it's about, so I don't think we need to predict it.
Yeah, I think everybody knows what it's about.
Yeah, I should hope.
You want to take a guess at how many rats they used in the film? Live Ooh, rats?
Live rats?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, do I think more or less than Willard?
what Willard? What?
Willard? You've never seen Willard?
No.
It's a movie about a rat guy.
Oh.
he's not a rat. He just likes
rats.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a lot of rats around him.
How many did they use in Willard? We can use that as the over-under.
No idea. Oh, okay. I was just making a joke.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say 20,000.
20,000. Okay.
How many? You have to tell me right now.
Oh, I have to tell you now? I don't get to tell
you. No, just tell me if I'm over or under.
Oh, you're over.
Oh.
I know.
Wow, I really expected more from them.
Yeah. And they supposedly they overextended their rat budget. but Willem Dafoe said 2,000. And what's his name?
That's a lot. I think I really overshot it.
Well, no, but what's his name?
Nicholas Holt?
Yes, Nicholas Holt said 5,000.
Mm.
So it's somewhere in that general.
Okay.
Single digit thousands.
I did Google it. Willard did not use that many rats at all.
Oh.
Why did I think that they had way more than that? They only used 500.
Oh.
That's chump numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Compared to Nosferatu.
Yeah. Compared to my future movie that uses 20,000.
Yeah, there we go. It can be the movie that I just wrote down, the reverse Jaws. We can figure out a way to use 20,000 rats in that movie.
Yeah. I like it. Cool. Well, I'm excited to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but I think I'm going to go to the theater this weekend.
I saw it on Christmas Day. I abandoned my kid. Exciting.
Oh, well.
I sent you a TikTok
Merry
about that.
Christmas.
Me abandoning my child on Thanksgiving to go see Nosferatu. That's exactly what I did.
On Christmas, not Thanksgiving.
Christmas, sorry.
Yeah. Well, nice. We will see you next week. I hope everybody has a very, very happy New Year's.
Yeah, happy New Year.
Yeah. We'll see you in January.
Mm-hmm. We talk about Nosferatu. Hooray!
I know. Or 2 years. 2 years down. We did it.
Hooray!
2 years
oh my God,
of
yeah,
podcasting.
You're so right. Happy anniversary.
That's pretty exciting. Well, yeah, almost. Very exciting. Thank you guys for sticking around with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
And please like and subscribe so we can go another year of annoying you guys.
Well, we're going to anyway, to be clear.
We will keep doing this. Whether or not you listen is up to you.
Yeah. Ideally, you'll keep listening. Because content will be there.
We will have content. Will it be good? Who's to say?
Probably not.
Oh, man. But yeah, happy new year, everybody. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.